And welcome, everybody. This is Jack Berugin. You're listening to Cloud Sense. This is the podcast that brings the world of cloud, fintech, blockchain, everything together. And I have got a great show for you today. Look, you know what? If you do not know who Reuven Cohen is, and that's with a V, I want you to go and Google the man. He is probably one of the biggest thought leaders, not only in the world of cloud, and then, of course, he's worked his way into blockchain, but here is a guy who is a, and I don't use this term very often, but he's a real Renaissance man. You know, he sees various things out there, and he goes and attacks them. And, you know, look, you know, I've seen the man on CNN. You know, I've read his stuff in Business Week, you know, MIT Technology Review. Yeah, believe it or not, I actually have read that. But more importantly, here is the guy who actually created the term infrastructure as a service. I'm going to call him the father of infrastructure as a service. I think that's probably a very, very good title. But more importantly, he's also an active mentor. He's an advisor. He's an angel investor. You know, and all of this is really something that hits close to home. He's somebody who creates things, folks. All right? And again, you know, having the vision of a Reuven Cohen is exactly what this world needs. And those visionaries out there are the ones that are leading us into this next realm, this world of cloud technology that we've never really thought was possible. And then, of course, all the other ideas and concepts like blockchain that are possible through the use of cloud and infrastructure and all the technologies that have come around over the course of the last decade. I guess what I'm trying to say, folks, is that every now and then you come across an individual that you want to turn things down, you want to listen to, all right? Reuven is one of those guys, and I am really, really, he's one of those, let me put it this way, he's one of those individuals that I have wanted on this show from the inception. I was hoping that one day I can get him on, and he's going to come on. We're going to talk to him a little bit about cloud. We're going to talk to him about the state of the industry. We're going to talk to him about blockchain, which is where he's at right now. And more importantly, and this is really what I want to get out of him, folks, and you know, you're gonna bear with me on this. We're going to try to find out what's out there that is disruptive now. What is it that Reuven Cohen sees from 30,000 feet that's actually disrupting this world, and more importantly, that can maybe make us a little bit of money or make our lives easier within the next decade. How about that? You know, it's those kinds of things that you want to listen to. It's what I was always taught. Pay attention to those who know. And this man knows. All right, we're going to take a few minutes, and when we come back, Reuven Cohen.
Are you in the market for cloud but wondering where to start or how to get the best value? Looking for help figuring out what you need without telling the same story to 10 different people? UCX is the cloud pricing and procurement marketplace. We quickly and easily help you identify exactly what you need, whether it's custom private cloud, bare metal, or VMs. We put your spec on our platform, where CSPs openly compete to deliver the best price, fit, and term. Save time, money, and find your cloud your way. UCX. Cloud buying made easy.
And welcome back, everybody. As promised, folks, Reuven Cohen, and I told you I was going to get him on the show, and sure enough, he's on. Reuven, thanks for joining us here on Cloud Sense today.
I appreciate you inviting me on. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, it's very reciprocal because you're one of those few people, whenever I see something that's written by you, I actually have to read it, or, you know, or if you're on CNN or something, I've got to watch you. But before we go into everything, what have you been doing lately? Tell everybody what you're doing today, because you've got such a varied background, and I actually described you as a bit of a Renaissance man, so you know it. But tell everybody about what you're doing these days.
Well, it's for those who don't know, you know, back a few years ago, I was lucky enough to be able to exit my company. We merged with another company called VirtuStream, which was ultimately acquired by EMC, which then was bought by Dell, and all those sorts of things. And like any good entrepreneur, after the exit, I started dabbling in, you know, being an angel investor, and I predominantly focused on investing in AI companies. I figured, hey, if the world's going to be taken over by AI, I might as well own a piece of it. And I realized that that, you know, being an angel investor wasn't exactly the most rewarding profession. You know, I was more of a builder of things. I didn't really see myself as an investor in things. And I was also dabbling with a business partner in sort of buying real estate and things like that, and realized that, you know, having other investors in fractional types of ownership was actually quite difficult. And being ever the, you know, sort of hacker, I decided to look at some of the emerging blockchains, specifically a project out of Canada here called Ethereum, as a mechanism to sort of provide fractional ownership of things. And I've been sort of working in that space ever since with a company called, well, aptly titled Fractional.
Well, you know, I want to get into that, as a matter of fact, but let's just put that on the back burner for a second. I want to concentrate a little bit on cloud, and you know, because you are the father of infrastructure as a service. I believe you coined that phrase, if I'm not mistaken. But if you didn't, I'm going to give you credit for it. How about that? All right. But more importantly, you know, how do you see this world right now? I mean, you know, you were actually one of the pioneers, you know, and you just explained that, you know, the whole process and how you guys ended up selling to VirtuStream and all the rest of it. But how do you see it today? I mean, because it's changed so much in the last, you know, 13 years, I would assume, just from your eyes and your point of view.
Well, when I started Anomaly, so it was the original name of the company, in 2003, I had a sort of hypothesis that infrastructure was going to move more towards a utility, and the form of that utility would take on things like containers and virtualization, and those things would be more autonomous in nature. My general premise was people were not required, and it should be treated more like a kind of utility you tap into rather than a kind of, you know, convoluted management system that was prominent back in 2003. And around the same time, there was this, you know, there was a number of projects, the notable, the Zen project out of Cambridge, and they were doing stuff in the paravirtualization. So for the you guys who aren't old enough to know what paravirtualization is, it's essentially a container. So the funny thing about the market today is we you know, obviously there's a lot more things you can do around automation and integration from that point of view, but we've almost done this kind of 15-year migration back to kind of where we started. You know, we went into this kind of idea of heavy virtualization and hardware virtualization and other types, and just to realize, hey, containerization is the thing to use. So now you hear about Kubernetes and various types of Docker and containerized deployments as being kind of this new phenomenon. I think the management of containers and the way we do it today, you know, through APIs and microservices is new, but a lot of the underlying components is very much, you know, similar to the things I saw 15 years ago.
Well, is it going back to almost like a platform for a service again? I mean, you know, it's almost like this, it feels cyclical. To those of us that are immigrants to technology, which I am, you know, it almost feels like it's a rebirth, a renaissance, if you will, of what was, and they've made it better.
Well, you know, the problem with platform as a service was, in my opinion, the original idea of platform as a service was the server doesn't matter. No one cared about the bells and whistles of an operating system or a network, right? You build your code, you deploy it, and it would just magically work. Then somewhere along the lines, we got kind of caught up in this idea that, you know, platform as a service is a means of like serverless containers and stuff, and in my opinion, I think we're moving back towards, you know, the app should just work. Nobody cares about the internal underlying, you know, infrastructure. That stuff should be abstracted to a point where it just doesn't matter. And so I think from the point of view of that level of abstraction, I think we're moving back towards that. I kind of hope the days of containerized, you know, approaches, it goes away, because I don't think anyone cares that it sits in a container. I think the future ultimately lies in things that are more event driven. Some people call it serverless, but I certainly don't think you need to know or worry about, you know, VPNs and subnets and networking. I think that stuff should be abstracted to the point it just kind of magically works.
Well, the analogy I always like to use is when I turn the lights on, I could not care less where the electricity comes from as long as my lights go on. And I think that's, in many ways, I think you're saying that, you know, and I'm kind of dumbing it down. But are we ever going to get to the point, I mean, because you see these offerings out there by these various cloud service providers, and they make them seem so, you know, unique. But, you know, when you break them all down, you know, it really seems much like you just said. It's really a utility, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's and when you look at a utility, the aspect of a utility is, you know, when I plug into the wall to plug in my light, it just works. I don't know that there's a station down the street or a hydroelectric dam 200 miles away. All that stuff is abstracted. All I know is I have a certain voltage and wattage, and it just kind of works.
No, that you are preaching to the choir, Reuben, when you say that. But here, let's keep going now. Okay, because cloud has given us the ability to do so many marvelous things, and one of these great inventions is something that you touched on and something that you're working in right now, and that is, of course, blockchain. Talk to us a little bit about blockchain. You know, I mean, everybody that I talked, remember, coming from the markets, people see Bitcoin, they see Ether, they see the various cryptocurrencies, but blockchain is more than that, isn't it? And I think that what you're dealing with, especially with fractional ownership, really digs into it and gets to the essence of, I think, what blockchain should be all about. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, one of the drivers for me in the early days of cloud was the sort of economic model. It was the consumption model. It was, you know, operational model. And a lot of that was around, you know, the economics of using those types of applications and utilities. And I think what's interesting about blockchain, you know, from a very broad point of view, it's a really slow database, right? It's, you know, so everyone slaps their logo and says, you know, it's blockchainified. It's taking, you know, something that exists in the old world and saying, now I got a blockchain version of it. And there's no incremental value in just slapping a blockchain moniker on something that's already been done. You know, the real opportunities in the space are looking at things that these types of distributed, decentralized applications really enable that weren't possible before. And so for me, it was, again, looking at the economic patterns and looking at the opportunities around, you know, applying these economic patterns in ways that...
Give us a concrete example, something that everybody that's listening to could probably relate with, and it would probably really kind of make us focus on it.
Well, I'm going to use a really simple example. This is not necessarily the best use, but it's a really easy one to understand. Think of a high-priced yacht. You know, most people can't afford to spend $30 million on a yacht, right? It's out of the realm of acceptability. Now you split that up into 365 pieces. Now, how do you manage 365 pieces of ownership of a yacht? There's logistics of determining who has access, what type of access they might have. You know, maybe if they don't use it, there's the option to share in some of the profit if it's being rented. You know, all those things in a traditional world would probably happen on an Excel sheet, and it would be difficult and cumbersome to manage. Now, in the realm of blockchain technology, that can all happen in the form of a smart contract. That smart contract can define, you know, legal aspects like, is there a deed? Do you actually own it? Do you actually own 1/365th piece of it? If so, what are the rights associated with that? Maybe I can use it, you know, one day of the year, and then there might be other related aspects to say how and where I can use it, and other various things. And that all those things can now be defined programmatically and autonomously. I don't need a central person to act as a trustee. I can have a trustee, but I don't necessarily need that. So a lot of those things that were done through contractual obligations and paper are now able to happen in a more efficient and streamlined way. And it opens up a whole variety of opportunities of things that weren't possible before, and speeds up the processes as well. Well, you know, that's one really simple example.
It seems like it really cleans things up. I mean, if you were to go on to things like partnerships and, you know, buying a real estate with a group. I mean, in theory, I mean, this seems to really simplify things to the point where, you know, you can more than likely disintermediate a lot of people that are getting paid through the process.
Yeah, well, exactly. And if you look at like the equities market, you know, why are there clearinghouses and trustees and all these various people who do really nothing in a world that's dominated by, you know, electronic records? You know, obviously there's a, you know, a challenge with companies that have been around for 100 years and have stock certificates circa 1932. But for the most part, if you're looking at greenfield new types of issuances, no one's using paper, right? And so it works quite well. And it also opens up a whole variety of new economic patterns. You know, you're not limited to just doing an equity. You can come up with various types of derivatives and payout and different, you know, things that were just not possible because, you know, there was opaque or just, you know, overly cumbersome to do.
Well, it's gone from the old trust and verify to, you know what, don't trust at all and just make sure that it's there and it's verified. So I like that. That actually makes life a lot easier. But, you know, hey, before I lose you, Reuben, you know, what do you see out there on the horizon? You know, you're one of these guys that sees the world a little differently than most of us. Is there anything out there that you're looking at, any technology, that's kind of, you know, that's in the back of your mind and you're saying to yourself, oh, in 5 or 10 years, this is going to be something that we all have to pay very close attention to?
Well, I know AI and related technologies have been overhyped, but the reality is, you know, our place as people in technology is limited at best. You know, the vast majority of things that we do as, you know, whether it's managing a server infrastructure, answering a call center or any variety of other things are limited. So I think, I'm still pretty excited about the impact of AI and sort of, you know, and the removing sort of the challenges. I'm not saying that I want to remove people. I think there's always going to be a place for people, but it might be in higher level or other types of processes that are just a little bit not well suited. So, you know, I think from that point of view, that's probably what's really driving a lot of my interest.
That's good stuff, Reuben. In fact, that's probably a perfect place for us to end. You've been listening to Reuben Cohen, folks, about as good as it can get. There you go. This is Cloud Sense. I'm Jack Verugian. I'll be talking to you soon.